most people don't really, they don't really wake up and they're not experiencing like a day-to-day crisis, but there's this more or less low level of anxiety that can really be pervasive. Emails, notifications, decisions we have to make, family responsibilities, the normal day-to-day financial concerns. That's kind of the background noise, but they don't understand completely just how exhausted and almost like disconnected from themselves they are.
Hi, I'm Deborah Rosman, and a warm welcome to our listeners. Each month for the At Heart podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing people who are contributing to the creation of a more heart-based world. This month, I'm talking with Michelle Papanicolaou, who works with Dr. Mark Hyman at the Ultra Wellness Center. Michelle is a national board-certified health and wellness coach, a functional medicine coach, which she calls a game changer for health coaching. It combines functional medicine principles with motivational interviewing, positive psychology, and the best practices she's found. Welcome, Michelle.
Deborah, thank you so much for having me. I am delighted to be here today to talk about all things calm and how we really begin to generate peace and just a more vital existence day to day in our lives.
I love that. Well, you had an article I saw on the website about what your stress signals are really telling you and how to respond. And I know you've worked with so many clients over the years. What are you seeing in the stress signals, but also when it comes to the particular type of stress and anxiety people are experiencing today?
So, you know, it's interesting. I think most people don't really, they don't really wake up and they're not experiencing like a day-to-day crisis, a major crisis every moment of each day. But there's this more or less low level of anxiety that can really be pervasive that we sometimes don't even recognize. And it just comes in the way of just everyday life, whether it's, you know, emails, notifications, decisions we have to make, it could be family responsibilities. It could be the normal day-to-day financial concerns. It could be uncertainty. So it's not as though most people are coming to me and saying, I'm having a panic attack, right? They're just experiencing the normal day-to-day life. Like I just the day-to-day bumping up against circumstances in one's life. And so that is generating basically, that's kind of the background noise that's going on in the background. And what happens is they're not really connected. It's some level they could tell you they're understand these things are stressors, but they don't understand completely just how exhausted and almost like disconnected from themselves they are. So their bodies are telling a very different story. And that's usually how it shows up. Because I work at the Ultra Wellness Center, people are coming in with conditions, whether it's, you know, it could be they are having gut issues. They're having inflammatory bowel disease. They may be having some panic stress related reactions. But what they're feeling, another big thing that people come in with is fatigue. They're exhausted, they're tired. And so they're experiencing a condition in their body. And that's what's bringing them in.
And they're not connecting that with this background noise, which has become normal, habituated. They think that's what life is.
Absolutely. It's almost as though that is the normal, that feels very normal and natural.
So one of the very most common new expressions I'm hearing from health professionals these days is that leads to nervous system dysregulation, which is behind a lot of these symptoms that you're talking about, that people come to the clinic for.
Right.
How do you tell? What's the pathway there? How do you tell if the nervous system is dysregulated?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to some of the things I said. It's they're coming in with the fatigue, insomnia, irritability. Another big thing people will say is they have brain fog. They feel just sort of out of, they're disconnected from themselves almost. And the way that shows up is brain fog. They might have cravings for certain foods, headaches. And the question is, again, they could tell you they're under stress, but again, it's like they're lacking that connection between the impact of the stress on the body. They could also be coming in with some, you know, their blood sugar could be dysregulated. They may talk about relationship difficulties. Again, there is some mood disorders that they will speak of, so that they could be bringing that in as symptoms. And so those are the symptoms that we see. Now, how I usually will get engaged and connected is we have an entire staff of the physicians and the nutritionists. We run multiple tests. We look at a lot of biomarkers. But oftentimes I will get engaged because the physicians and the nutritionists know that there is that mind-body connection. And in order for their symptoms to completely alleviate, they need to begin to manage that chronic background noise and stress that is evident in their lives. Unless they get that piece under control, there will be a missing piece to the puzzle that needs to be put into place in order for them to function well.
So what role do you see the heart playing in regulating their emotions, in dealing with this background noise of stress?
I would say I see it as fundamental. It's absolutely fundamental. And it needs to be, people need to understand that their heart isn't just this organ that's pumping inside of them. It's actually sending signals to the brain. You know, there's this bi-directional thing that's going on between the brain and the heart and the brain. And the heart, when they begin to change the way they think and their emotions, it's actually going to impact their physical symptoms. So that directional piece is really important for people to understand, but not just to understand, to have a solution to. So in understanding it is one piece, again, it's one piece of the puzzle, but you also have to introduce a way for them to begin to calm, regulate, and get into a space where there's this intentionality for how they move through the world.
Right. So I know you and wonderful representative to teach the heart math tools and technology to clients. How do you introduce heart math to them? What do you say?
One of the things I start with asking them is I ask them how they experience stress. I want to know how they specifically feel it in their bodies, what it actually feels like for them, and do they recognize it? Can they actually pinpoint it throughout their day? So I want to understand what their brand of stress actually looks like. That's where I start with. And then I'll ask them, okay, then how do you actually regulate that? How do you actually change it? How do you become calmer, more present? How do you, you know, when you're in a rabbit hole of negativity and you're finding yourself going down a loop where you're becoming increasingly frustrated and angry, how do you stop that process? How does that get interrupted for you? And what people will often say is they either have a difficult time doing that and they can't do it, or they've tried things in the past that haven't worked. I will ask them the question, have you ever tried meditating? Have you ever tried breathing? Have you ever tried any form where you're allowing your body to rest? Because I actually want to know what they have or haven't done. And what I find is a lot of people will say that they have tried some form of meditation, but it hasn't worked. It hasn't stuck. And this is where I then introduce heart math, because I have found through experience and observation that the heart math, I feel it's a very low barrier. People can actually use it and get on board with it in a way where they can see a difference and they can feel a difference. And so that's sort of my entry point. I go about a questioning process with them to hear what they've done, and then I will introduce it at that point once I understand where they're at and what they've done.
And then what do you tell them to do? What is your coaching?
So usually what I will do is I will start with, there's a few diagrams within heart math that I actually use. I go right into the material and I will use the depletion to renewal document, because I find that that's visually something that people can actually look at and understand. It's a visual representation. And then I work through that with them. I try to explain that to them. And I explain to them that the body wasn't made to be in a complete state of stress and where you're completely deregulated. What circumstances definitely impact us, but we have to be able to be resilient in those circumstances. And resilience doesn't necessarily mean pushing harder. It actually means recovering. So we're constantly, I talk about a glass, and the glass gets filled up during the day. And if we don't have any way to actually empty that glass, and we don't have any way of becoming more resilient and returning to a level of rest, then we're depleted. We're tired, we're fatigued. And the body will eventually, if we continue in that state of constant stress, the body eventually begins to break down. It might not happen right away, but we weren't meant to be in that heightened state continually.
Right. So what do you tell them to do? Do you use you teach them a technique? Do you have them watch their HRV change? Do you use the inner balance sensor or app? What works best?
Well, what I start with is I actually just start with breathing. Mm-hmm. I said, let's do a simple exercise of breath right now, of breathing, of slowing our breath down, breathing a little deeper. Let's find a comfortable place. Let's just close our eyes and focus on our breath and imagine it coming from your heart. Imagine your breath just emanating from your heart. And when you're breathing in and then you're releasing that breath out, you're putting yourself in a more calmer state of positivity, and you're shifting from a state of heightened reactivity to calm. And so I will just go through just a breathing exercise with them right there, mm-hmm. before I introduce anything, because my goal right there is to just have them feel I want them to actually experience the rest right then and there. I want them to feel what it would be like if they just, and I, the way I'll explain it, I'll explain it. You're giving yourself the time to just enter into a state of rest and relaxation and calm. and shifting all of that anxiety and angst that you may have been experiencing during the day, we're going to shift that now. I will introduce them eventually to the inner balance, but I don't do that right off. I won't do that initially. That's not my first, where I go initially right. is just having them experience what it would feel like just to be in a state of rest.
Right. So they're supposed to practice this and then they come back and see you again. And what results do you see when they practice this or when you have them do another heart math tool? What are some of the results you see?
So one, it's really interesting with clients and with the folks that I work with. Oftentimes, the first week they'll come back and they'll just say, well, one of the things I tell them is I want them just to start really slow. So I tell them, we're just going to do 3 to 5 minutes per day. And it's like working out a muscle. And the way that you're going to think of this is, you know, just like you go to the gym to work your muscle, you're going to work. You're going to learn. I probably don't use the word work because I don't want them to get the sense that it's work. I'm saying you're going to learn how to rest and relax through breath and through your heart. And we're going to do that daily, but we're only going to do it 3 to 5 minutes every day. So I ask them to just do it really simply just to get the habit in place. And that's what I do the first week. First week, practice doing this. When they come back the second week, what I usually will say is, well, how did that feel? Like, how did it feel just to sit and rest? And it's interesting. Most people are very surprised that just doing a very brief, short exercise like that can get them into the state of calm where they're actually beginning to be, where they're thinking through what's going on during the day, right? So that's the first step. I want them just to get in the habit of sitting and breathing. And then from that, I will then introduce the device.
Mm.
And usually that's really fascinating because they're really interested to see that they can actually, when you get biofeedback like that, when you can actually look at something and see the score go up and down and then correlate it to what's actually happening in your day, that can be super powerful.
Yeah, you're talking about, because there's plenty of breathing exercises. They've been around forever, but this heart breathing and heart-focused breathing, as we call it, and then showing them with the inner balance what the heart looks like, what the heart's doing, that's the power of the heart that most people don't realize can build resilience, can transform stress and release it so that you feel not only calm, but you told me, like, what if they felt more energized without having to take arousals like coffee or power naps or energy
yes.
drinks? How does that work? Explain that.
Well, I think most people go through their day and they think they have to do something. They have to stimulate themselves to be at rest.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the coffee comes in. I mean, there's other forms of stimulation that can be helpful, but this is a form of stimulation where you're actually allowing your body to rest. And so when people recognize that they can actually, it's when they can actually plug in to this inner resource during the day that gives them almost, it's a very deep sense of calm and rest that you're not going to necessarily get from a cup of coffee or 2 cups of coffee or a shot of espresso or a power nap. You're actually, the whole idea is to intentionally enter into that state of rest and then generate a mood from that state of rest.
Explain more about how they would feel renewed afterwards or generate a mood. Say they want a mood of loving what they're doing, their work. They want a mood of excitement or a mood of joy or even just a mood of appreciation of their family. An up mood is what I'm thinking you're meaning.
Yes. So I will try to have them locate something in something that actually has generated that for them in the past, whether that's a relationship with a family member, a friend, a husband, a wife. Do they have relationships where they have experienced those moods of love and joy and peace and calm? Is there a place where they've gone where that mood was actually generated? I had one gentleman tell me that whenever he went to one of the Great Lakes, and during the summer he would go and canoe early in the morning, and he just had such a sense of peace and calm and contentment, and that was really powerful for him. So that became what he focused and thought about, because it was very palpable. He could tune into that experience really quickly. Sometimes people, they don't have great relationships, but they have pets, right? So maybe they haven't experienced this in a relationship, but they have a cat, they have a dog.
Yeah.
They might, you know, people even have birds, right? And
right.
they have these feelings of love and care and compassion. And so that becomes the focus. That becomes the mood that they're trying to tap into. So I try to really help people figure out, what is it for you?
Yeah.
And
you
get
know,
and really conceptualize that, because for me, it could be something very, very different.
So what's the difference that you see between people doing this, feeling their connection in the heart to something, doing the breathing, looking at the heart rhythm technology, the inner balance, and making the and sustaining their behavior changes? Most people have a really hard time making healthy changes, even when they know what would benefit them. How is what you do different? Why does it stick, I guess?
I think one of the reasons why it sticks is because they actually can feel it and experience it, and they can actually see in relationships in real time the value of it, and they can, it's bringing the intentionality. I tell them, you're practicing this technique, but there's going to be, but it has to go beyond that. You're going to bring it into your day-to-day life, and we're practicing this just like you go to the gym. You have to keep going to the gym, but eventually you see the results. I also bring the reality that you can't just, this is something that has to be used and utilized and practiced, but you can start small. That's the difference. I want people to understand you're going to utilize it. You're going to practice. You're going to start small, but it's going to gain momentum.
And
I think to answer that question, Deborah, I think it's because they feel it and they experience
right.
it.
That's what's sticky, is that they feel the benefit and they stick with it because they want to feel that way more.
Yes.
I love that. Well, you know, you told me an interesting story about your husband, who's a doctor with the Ultra Wellness Clinics, and he discovered heart math because he had some issues. And you started seeing results in him. He didn't react all the time.
Yes.
And you've been married over 30 years, and him making that much of a change, you started to pay attention and do it.
Yes. So my husband has been, so he's a physician. He's at the he's functional medicine physician, and he has ADHD. He's had it in his entire life, right? He's made lots of great changes throughout the years. But even with some of those changes, there would still be residual, you know, there would still be residual pieces of that left over. He started meditating probably about 5 years ago. So he experimented with some different forms. And then he began to exclusively use heart math. And when he began to exclusively use the heart math, I definitely saw a big change in just his reactivity, how he engaged in conversations when he was physically fatigued or tired. Because, you know, it's one thing to be able to be present when everything is firing well. But when you're tired and your bucket is empty, that's when you really see the impact of the change. Mm. And that's what I saw. And I also saw that, you know, when he would not be using the technique, it would be a little harder. Or he wouldn't be practicing the method, I should say. It would be a little bit harder. So he would tell me, I think you really need to start using this yourself. And I said, oh, you know, I run, I do some breath work, you know, I do some yoga. I don't know if I really need it. I'm a calm person most of the time anyway. but then I started using it, and I also began to experience the benefit as well.
And so what was the extra benefit from that you didn't get from running and breath work and yoga and all that you were doing? And, you know, what's the secret sauce? Because after all your years of coaching people, you must have learned something about human flourishing. And what was different?
Yeah, well, I think the part for me is I'm a high energy person myself. Like I like to operate at that, you know, I feel most energized and most plugged in when I feel the stress, when I'm experiencing it almost, right? But what I think I didn't realize, and so all those activities like running, even parts of yoga, like the yoga that I liked was the power yoga, the hot yoga, the really intense stuff. None of that was super calming. Like it wasn't putting me in a position where I just allowed myself to just breathe, rest, and really utilize the function of my heart to spread that, you know, that calm, compassion, love. I was operating more in an intense process, and I was seeing that is giving me more resilience. Mm-hmm. What I needed to do was back off of that and get myself into more state of calm and peace and rest. That's the change that I saw in myself. Mm. So it wasn't that I abandoned the one, but I added in the other, and I have found it really balancing.
I love that inner balance. Well, you know, I'm sure many of the listeners are thinking, wow, that's me. They're seeing themselves in one aspect or another of what you're saying, because it is standard. So for people to flourish, for human flourishing, they need to, what I'm hearing you say, they need to really activate this power of their heart.
Yes, absolutely.
So if somebody's overwhelmed right now, what's one thing that they could do today?
You know, I would say one thing they could do is just, you know, stop trying to fix everything and recognize that slowing down can be really powerful. I would tell them just to sit, find a comfortable position, close their eyes, breathe a little bit deeper, breathe a little bit slower. I would tell them to focus on something that has brought them intense joy, something that's generated compassion or love toward another person, and just focus on that as they're just sitting and breathing. Slow down.
That sounds great. Well, you know, we end these podcasts always with the heart meditation where we do some of that. So let's do that together. And we're getting into this heart rhythm coherence state that HeartMath has researched, which balances our nervous system and synchronizes our heart, brain, and body, and gives us that power to shift our mood, regulate our emotions. So let's do that together. And you can take this with you, as well as the wonderful advice and inspiration Michelle has provided. So let's focus our attention in the area of the heart and do that. Imagine your breath flowing in and out of the heart or chest area, breathing a little slower and deeper than usual. Just find an easy rhythm that's comfortable. Now, as you continue this heart-focused breathing, activate and sustain that feeling of joy or compassion or appreciation for someone or something in your life as you continue breathing through the heart area. This is what's activating that heart rhythm coherence that balances your nervous system. Now radiate that uplifting, renewing feeling to your whole body and to other people, out to others, because radiating coherent heart energy helps to renew and sustain it in your system and connects you with higher brain functions like intuition. And now collectively, let's co-create a reservoir of that heart energy that each of us can tap into whenever we feel stressed or overwhelmed and need a lift in spirit or support in following through, connecting with our heart, and finding that calm, renewing state that Michelle's been talking about. We can each tap into this reservoir, which we create every month together on this podcast. Thank you. Michelle, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I think that it's been a pleasure just speaking with you. And I'm so excited to have actually found this and be, you know, just to have the opportunity to help others in a very large way. It's been just such an addition to what I've been doing for the last several years.
Well, thank you so much, because your genuineness, your authenticity and sincerity about this can give people a lot of hope that there is something they can do, that we don't have to be a victim of this background anxiety 24/7, that we can take control. And as a free gift to all of our listeners, you can download from the HeartMath's websites the HeartMath Experience, which is an online video learning course, or the new HeartMath app at the Google Play Store or the App Store, and really learn HeartMath techniques and be guided through this process. So that's our gift to you. And I want to remind everyone that the third Tuesday of every month, we publish a new episode. So be sure to subscribe to the At Heart podcast so you don't miss our next guest and topic. Take care. Lots of love to all.
Thank you for listening to the At Heart podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the latest episodes. If you're wanting even more heart-inspired content, find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Look for HeartMath and also the HeartMath Institute. Both organizations are committed to helping activate the heart of humanity.